Later today, in Minneapolis, the former police officer who murdered George Floyd last year will be sentenced. The state of Minnesota has asked the court to put Derek Chauvin in prison for 30 years, but there are still multiple legal factors at play that could affect the judge's decision. Joining us now is Rick Petrie. He teaches at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's also a former criminal defense attorney. Rick, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. It's nice to be here.
So Chauvin was convicted on several charges, but he's only going to be sentenced on the most serious one, and that is second-degree unintentional murder. What will you be watching for today?
There are a number of things to kind of pay attention to. One is that here in Minnesota, we have something called the Minnesota Sentencing Guidelines, and those guidelines provide, depending on a person's criminal history score and the severity of the offense, a range of time that the court can consider within its discretion when imposing a sentence. Here, the government is asking that rather than rely on the guidelines, that Mr. Chauvin be sentenced to 30 years in prison, which would be an upward departure from the guidelines. In other words, more time than the guidelines are asking for.
And on the other side of things, his lawyers are asking for probation. So where do you think this is most likely to land?
Yeah, I think probation is probably not going to happen. I don't see the court placing him on probation. That would be a significant departure. I think that it's likely that the sentence will land somewhere between what the guidelines provide, which is 128 months to 180 months, somewhere between that number in the 30 years that the state is asking for.
And do the math for us there. Is that 10 years or a little more than 10 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So Judge Cahill will also be considering aggravating factors in this case, and that includes the fact that children were present and watched George Floyd die. How do you think that might play into his decision?
Well, as a matter of law, the court can't depart from the guideline sentence without some sort of legal basis. Having children present is an aggravating factor under the guidelines that would provide a legal basis for the court to depart. So, yes, that's certainly possible.
I see. Now, Floyd's family will have a chance to make a statement. Derek Chauvin has the right to speak at this hearing as well. So if you were to put on your defense attorney hat again, do you think he will? Do you think he should?
Well, that's a great question because it's a very complicated answer. In a typical situation, I would say absolutely, because it would be an opportunity for him to express remorse, maybe add some additional context since he didn't testify at trial. But in this case, I don't think it's going to happen for a couple of reasons. One, his attorney in his sentencing papers has already said that Mr. Chauvin doesn't think he did anything wrong. The other piece of it is that anything that he may say here could in turn be used against him because there are federal charges pending and that matter hasn't been resolved yet. So he's kind of in a tough spot.
The other thing that hasn't been resolved yet is what will happen to the other three officers who were involved in George Floyd's death. They will be the next to stand trial. Do you think Derek Chauvin's case has anything to say about what will happen in the next one?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with him being convicted, especially being convicted of all three counts, it really sets the stage and puts those other officers in a pretty difficult situation. In other words, the thing that they're alleged to have aided and abetted has already been proven. The primary actor there has already been found guilty. You couple that with they were also indicted on these federal charges, and so those folks are they're not in a very good position at this time.
Finally, Rick, this case has unfolded in your own backyard there in the Twin Cities, and you've actually been using it as a case study to teach your students. Tell me about that. Why are they eager to learn from this, and what are you hoping they do take away from it?
Well, I think there's a lot to it. You know, as you mentioned, it literally happened in our own backyard. The protests and riots and property destruction spilled all the way over into St. Paul, so just literally down the street from our school. So we have some students that were so traumatized by all of this that they just say, I can't take any more of it. But then we have another group of students, including a number of students who are involved either currently in law enforcement or have been in the past, and they want to take a deep dive into this because there are so many legal issues, so many tactical issues, so many social issues associated with this case that we responded to the demand from our students to have these types of conversations, and we created a class so that we could have that type of conversations and learnings available to our students.
Law professor Rick Petrie, thank you very much.